Amen. Oh, let's see what we have here. Oh, ain't got nothing left in here. You guys really cleaned me out in the last couple of days. Ah, here we go. We got a couple of them here, Moyet. Not too bad. Oh, look at my wife. She's bringing a bigger one. Oh, boy. Parents, I'm leaving tomorrow. It's all, you can just put it right over there for me. Thank you. Who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favors from the Lord. All right. Well, come on up, children. Come a little closer up. Come right up to the front this time. Right up to the front. Let me get my Bible here. Muchas gracias. See what happened? These church leaders go out and they just have a fun time drinking and what's that they got there? Let me see. Having a good old time. It's a little bit of the ministry I guess some Russian Mennonite folks that come to the fam house. I want to show you just a couple pictures of the fam house before. Yep, that's the backside of it. And there's some young people that came and did some work at the fam house. There they are working, stacking lots of logs. Some of you might know one of the guys. I think they're from Indiana, right? Anybody know them? Right? Which one you know? The one on the with the glasses? Well, two good glasses, right? Okay, I figured so. And that's some of them that came last year. And on their nice. All right, enough of that. You could take that off now. All right, tonight is the last night. And we're going to have some story time. Come on up to the front. Just come right up to the front as you're coming in. Last night, the story that I did sitting here was about who again? Was it about, who was it? Yeah. Jonah. And Jonah got swallowed by a whale. And what else happened? Remember the whale? How it kind of just did what? Spit him out. And then Jonah did what? Go ahead, yeah, yourself. Yeah, you got your hands up fast enough. Yeah, he was going to go to Nineveh, but then he didn't go to Nineveh, but he ended up going to Nineveh, you're right. And he went, you know what? Let's look in 1 Kings. I want to share another story with you. In 1 Kings, it tells us a story of a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah? Was it Elijah was his name? Anybody remember? There was a man that went up and there was some called fire down from heaven and burned up the offering. But anyway, right before that, Elijah was told by God, Elijah, I'll take care of you. There was a famine in the land and things were tough times. And the Bible tells us, I want to show you the provision of God today, that God will provide for you. Well, Elijah was told by God, I'll take care of you. Don't worry, Elijah, you go, as a matter of fact, I'll have a widow take care of you. And Elijah went and he saw this widow lady. And she was going her way. And Elijah said, come. Get me some water to drink. Yep, she would get him some water. The prophet, a man of God. And then he said, you know what? I need something to eat. Make me a little bread, a cake. And the woman said, well, all I have is a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. I'm going to make myself a bread for myself and my son. We're going to eat this. This is the last we have, and then we can die. I can't give it to you. What would you do? You had your last bread, and someone comes and said they want it. Would you give it to them? Because, come on. Her son. will die if you don't get something to eat 2 days, 3 days down the line. She said, I can't do that. And Elijah said, no, God will provide. So she went and she got a little oil and she got her bread and she made the cake. And she had some to eat and Elijah had some to eat, but there was still some left. And the next day she made some bread and there was still, and God was just providing as she continued to make and obedient, it continued to have bread to eat. I want to leave you this week to remind you that God will provide for you. Last time we talked about the ravens, and the ravens didn't come into that last story. The raven comes in this one. I got carried away last night. I told you, you know, Jonah went and he, you know, somewhat's true. In that, you know, it had the shade and he sat under the shade and the worm. But, you know, we kind of added on the ravens. But the ravens really did help feed our man in the story today, Elijah. That's another story. That's a story after triumphant victory where fire came from heaven and he was doing all right. And then he heard this woman named Jezebel wanted to kill him and he ran and hid. But I'm not going to talk about that, so I'm going to tell you the provision of God. Could you imagine? This woman had a little bit of oil just to make one bread. A little bit of flour to make one bread. And she was obedient to the man of God. And God just provide and provide and provide. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're obedient to God and His Word, He will provide for you. He have done that for me. Remember last night I talked about 9/11? And none of you here was alive for 9/11. That was 20 years ago. 21 years ago. When the planes hit the World Trade Center. This was a tall building, 110 stories. There's none like that here in Indiana. 110 floors you're going up to. And it all crumbled down in one day. I mean, it just came down to ashes. But when it came down, I was asked if I would consider helping out with groups that would come to New York City to sing and to minister to people who was hurting. And I was working a job 9 to 5, you know, sometimes 8, 9, 10 hours, and I wasn't getting any ministry done. And I sense God telling me that I need to go full time into ministry and just get involved in the street ministries. But I have a family to take care of. And when I told the guy I was working with that I was going to quit the job, although I didn't tell him quit, I told him I was going to help with this ministry, street ministry, he says, if you're going to do that, you're fired. And I went home and I told my wife and she said, praise the Lord. And I was like, something's wrong with this lady. I'm fired and you say praise the Lord, but God had a provision for me. He was going to provide. And for the last 21 years, I've seen God provide. We don't have a salary. We just do the will of God and God just supplied the needs for us. Well, you never were one day hungry. You can tell, never one day hungry. All right? So I want to encourage you. God will supply for you just like He did for Elijah and the widow lady and her son. He will supply for you. No matter where you go. But once you are in His presence, once you are following His rules and His will, He'll provide for you. I wanted to share that with you tonight to encourage you as young people. Sometimes you want to give up. Don't give up. The same God that provided for Elijah and the widow lady and her son, the same God that provided for myself and my family for all these years. You know, I was in New York City. We'd be on the streets and we'd be helping people. And everybody was going home with a paycheck. And I didn't have one to go home with. I had another friend who used to work on the streets in New York, sharing and doing things and helping with food programs. And we would laugh sometimes. We're going home with no paycheck. But yet God was able to supply for our needs. You know, the Chaitans family was here last night. And I don't want to say it in front of them, because I don't like people to talk about my needs, because God knows my needs and He'll take care of them. But they're a very needy family. I mean, they were living in Canada. And then living in Canada, they would come to America, and then they went to Grenada, 9/11. COVID came, and they got stuck in Grenada for more than a year, and they came back. And they couldn't go back to Canada because they're not vaccinated. And they're living in a little cabin. They call it a cabin, but it's like a little shed in southern Indiana, two bedrooms. And they had a little sunroom, and they just saw a snake in the sunroom. So have the guys a little bit scared. But they don't go around begging. Whatever they do is unto the Lord. And I want you to pray for them sometimes. Remember them. They're young. And God is using them all over the country and different parts of the world to touch the hearts of people. And last time when I spoke on compassion, I don't want to say they have a need. But if you ever think about it, pray for them that God will continue to keep them strong and to supply their needs. They came up from Indiana last, southern Indiana last night, so they could just be able to bless you as a congregation. And to see, let you young people know that there is hope. And the same thing that they can do, you can do for Christ. All right. Well, we got a lot of candy. We're going to get rid of some of them. The rest we'll have them for tomorrow. Some Tootsie Roll and all that stuff. Man. Ah, let's go way back. I heard some young man wanted to memorize all of Luke 17 and 16 and 15. So he'll have all the answers for tonight. Let's see if he's here tonight. But let's go way back on the first night. The very first night, well, the first morning, Sunday morning, I started with, what was the chapter and verse again? What was the chapter? Anybody remember? Okay, I see one hand, two hands, three. Go ahead, your green shirt. Luke 15, you remember where we started off? Anybody remember what verse we started on? We kind of follow up from the week before. Brother Harold preached about the same thing, but he talked about three parables. It was a parable of the what? Go ahead in the back there. Young man, yeah. Very good. Anybody saying, what happened? I don't get a cup of candy. Don't worry. We have a special for you tonight. So it was a prodigal. Now the man had how many sheep? In the back, right here, yeah. Yeah. 100. How much did he lose? How much was lost? Right here in the front. Yeah, yourself. You put your hand up. Yeah. How many got lost? Yeah. He had 100. How much? One got lost. Very good. And he left the 99. Did he feel sorry? Or did he really care about the 99? Yes, he did. But one was lost. One went astray, and he went to go after them. And he did go after them. And no matter where you go, God is always waiting for you to come back home to Him. You could be a whole group of you, but just one loss. He wants that one loss. And then the lady had how many coins? Anybody remember how many coins she had? Yeah, go ahead. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. She had 10, and how many was lost? Okay, young lady. One was lost. And what she did, she swept under the bed. One was lost. She had 9. Does God care for just one? Yes, He does. He cares for each one of you. Each one. He knows you by name. You know, the Bible says He even counts the hair off your head. I mean, there isn't much for Him to count here, but, you know, He counts all the hair on your head. He knows everything about you. And when she found that one coin, what did she do? Well, you was fast, boy. She was happy, called all the neighbors, come. This one coin was lost. And the same thing happened in heaven. When one of us come to Christ, there's a big party. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. Listen. Tonight, If you are lost, tonight is your night where you could come home to Him, where you could be in the presence of the Lord. So we had all these that happened, and we had one son was called, what did we call him? The prodigal son, and then you had the older brother, a little mean spirit, and then you had the father. We talk about the mercy and love of the Father, how much He loves you. And then we had the next night with the story of two women. Who was it? Anybody remember the story of the two women? Two women. Right after we came out of the three men, we had two women. Anybody remember those? The woman. Was it the alabaster box woman? And what did she do? Anybody remember what she did?
She put stuff on Jesus.
Right. What else did she do? What do we call it?
Perfume.
Myrrh. What else? But it was something we said she was doing. It was not just putting it on, but she was doing something. She was washing His feet. She was praising Him. And God desires your praises. So when you come to church, praise Him. When you go home, praise Him. When you go to school, praise Him. Wherever you go, praise God. Because He's a good God and He needs your praise. He wants your praise. He desires your praise. You say, well, I'm too young. No, you're never too young. So we had a woman with the alabaster box. And then we had a woman who had a problem. She said, my daughter has a demon. Come. And Jesus said, I didn't come for you, but I came for the lost sheep of Israel. But remember, Jesus was silent when she spoke. And sometime in your life, He will be silent. Sometimes He wants you just to trust Him and wait upon Him. And then she said, yes, Lord, but... And He says, well, you know, lady, it is not good for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And what did she say? Anyone remember what she said? It is not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she said, but the dogs eat the crumbs that comes off the master's table. We talk about the crumbs. Sometimes we want all the big things in life, and God wants to give us the small things. And the small things goes a long way. There's a lot of good stories we heard, but how do we apply it in our own life? So at this time, we want to stop here. We want to take a time to pray for you. I really enjoy you. I mean, it was a fun group of young people coming up front and having, you know, you were very, I know Candy had something to do with it, but I just felt you wanted to be a part of. And I heard that many of you were checking it out and trying to remember these things and writing it down. But I want you to remember some of the lessons we learned this week. Forget about me. I don't matter. Forget about me and remember the lessons you learned this week. So, while your parents are not looking, you get to come up here and take just one handful, left hand or right hand, one hand, and you could go back to your seat. Each person, one at a time, we start from right here. You come first. Hey, young man, you need to be a ladies' gentleman. You should let the lady go first. Good. No, let the lady go first. No, you could go second. All right, each one just come on up and get your candy. And while you do that, I have a couple of quick announcements to make. Just take one handful and go right back. Yep, whatever you want. And Mom and Dad will have you hyper, well... He'll be running around the house, jumping on the walls. Well, again, I want to thank you so much. I know today is not the last tomorrow we have yet, but you have been a very good and gracious group. Oh. Hey, is that one hand? It was one hand. I wasn't looking. I just hear everybody's laughing. Yeah. So, thank you so much again. Oh, look at that, water. I mentioned 2 days that the water was the same, at the same spot and the same temperature. Wasn't sure it was changed, but now they made sure it was changed. I'm going to go with my story. This is the last night for the story. But I want you to remember something. When we leave here this week, forget my story. It's all His glory. Everybody's laughing, and I don't even know what's all the fun. I'm missing all the fun in front here. Me. Boy, ain't much left here. Everybody like the Tootsie Roll. Hey, one hand. I can't believe you. One. You know what one hand is? One hand is one hand. All right. Yeah, so I want you to remember more than my story, but remember to give Him the glory for what He has done. If you knew me then, you'll believe me now. Let's start that song and we'll sing. Let's all stand. We'll sing the song. We should know the whole song by now. I was at one house today and the young lady was singing it. And she said, I only know this part of it. So I went out, get my little boombox speaker. And we sang it together and we sang the whole song. So I believe you know it by now. So sing it out nice and loud if it means something to you. Turn my mic off because I don't have a good singing voice.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old hand He made it. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. Goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
By the mercy of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. And again, tonight we praise you. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about you. It's not about my story. It's about your glory. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord God, for what you have done, for what you have given us. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your grace. We thank you for your love. Be with us tonight, Lord God. Touch our hearts in a special way tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so we're wrapping up my story. And something happened. One cold Thursday night, something happened. Something happened that cold Thursday night. I told you yesterday, you know, God was using my wife. And God may have been using the wives of these other men to speak into the lives of their husbands. I told you last night how powerful it is when a woman could live out what God has called her to be submissive to her own husband. I told you submission is not something that you can demand. It is something that comes from our heart. But I want to tell you what submission is not. Submission is not abuse. A wife submitting. You don't abuse. I thought it was great she was submitting. I was getting some freedom I shouldn't have gotten, but I thought it was good for me. Submission is a principle. And sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. Sometimes a wife could be very submissive. A child could be submissive. On your job, you could submit to your authority. You can submit to the government. All these, the Bible calls us to submit to those that rule over us. It's a principle. You do what you know God called you. And when you stand before Him one day, He'll ask you, wife, did you submit to your husband? Yeah, I did, but... Oh, I didn't because he... No, you do what you... No, God called you to. And sometimes it don't always work. Because I've known many, it didn't work. They did, they submitted, they did everything, and yet their husbands left. Yet they got fired from their job, they submit to the authority. And on. My wife submitted. And God used that. As a matter of fact, the night before, I told you there were three couples. My wife and I, a Jamaican lady and her husband, and one from the Cameroon and her husband. And all three men was lost. And the ladies prayed and submitted. And the night before, one of the men prayed to receive Christ. And there was rejoicing. I didn't even know about it. And then this cold Thursday night, I was going to school in Manhattan and the rain was rain and it was cold. So I'm not going to go. I'm not going anywhere tonight. Month of March, you find sometimes some cold days. I'm not going to school. And then the doorbell rang. And when the doorbell rang, I came downstairs and I saw Alan Roth. And two others were standing at the door. And I thought, well, they're crazy to have a Bible study tonight. I mean, it's rainy, it's cold, you should be in your home. And I said, well, my wife is upstairs. I knew who they were because I visited the church a couple of times when my daughters would have sing or do something. And Alan says, no, tonight I came to talk to you. I said, good, oh man, I love that. I mean, your wife has on a red top, right? Chad, no, it's not. Is it red? It's red. I'm telling you. See, I love an argument like that. I want to tell you it's red, and I want to argue with you. And Alan wants to tell me about Jesus. And I want to argue with him. And we got upstairs and he starts talking about Jesus and all these things. I mean, I read the Bible when I was 12 years old. I knew what Christians are supposed to do and the life they should live. I knew the thing that do the do's and don'ts about Christians very well. I've been around some of them. And Alan Rod talked and he talked and he talked and he talked and I listened. And then he said one thing that me, that's the only thing I remember of all the talking we talked, one thing he said that night. And that was, when you die, where would you spend eternity? I die, where would I spend eternity? That's kind of easy, you know, because listen, I used to sell drugs. I don't sell drugs anymore. I just take it. I'm not an alcoholic. I only drink every day and I can stop whenever I want to. Or at least that's what I told myself. I smoke cigarettes. That's on me. Immorality, I'm not homosexual or anything like that, but adultery, a little bit of adultery, that's okay. I take care of my family and I had a list. At the end, I'm a good person. And he said, why you say heaven? I said, because I'm a good person. I do all these things. I'm not a murderer, a thief, a criminal. You see, the Bible says all your good works is as filthy rags. Not the works you do. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And do you have that? No. You know, some people say it's like the devil and the angel, you know. And I want to say yes because I love what my wife has, that peace she has. I love, you know, the radiance we're showing. But it's hard to let go of what I had. And I've heard so much about Christianity. And I wanted to believe it. There was only a Sunday morning thing. And so I thought to myself, okay, I'll get him. I'll tell Alan, you know what, come back next week Thursday. Next week Thursday I won't be home. I'm off the hook. And then Alan had the nerve to say, what if you die tonight? What if you die tonight? And then something happened. You wouldn't have to wait till the, till tomorrow. Coming to the end, I will share with you what happened. But I want to get into the word and it will tie into what I want to talk to you about tonight. So if you have your Bible with you, just remember the last thing I talked about. Where would you spend eternity? There's a real place called heaven. There's a real place called hell. We like to talk about heaven because Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Heaven was made for believers. Hell was made for the devil and the demons and those that are disobedient to God. I want to look at something here. Matthew 25th chapter. Matthew 25. I want to look at a story. The parable of the five wise and the five foolish. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 10 virgins dressed like virgin, talks like virgin, living like virgin, looking like virgin, has a lamp, lit their lamp, and was going in the same place. They were going to a wedding. They all had the outward appearance. They all looked the same. They all had the same thing in mind, that we're going to go to this wedding and we're going to have a good time and we're going to... And they all were going in the right direction. 10 virgins. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2, no, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise one took oil in their vessel with their lamps. Five wise, five foolish. Some had oil that would last, and some had oil just for the short journey in their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they slumbered and they slept. And at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise one answered, saying, "No, at least there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him into the wedding, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgin came also and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "As surely as I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Let's break it down. Five were wise, five were foolish. Five had oil to last just for the night. And five was prepared for the long haul. We don't know when he's coming. So we got to be prepared. Are you living on last Sunday's sermon? Are you just living on last Sunday's sermon and waiting for tomorrow's sermon? Are you having a relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Are you filling up every day the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to enrich you? Five was wise, and five were foolish. And the wise one said, you know, the foolish one said to the wise one, give us some of your oil. See, sometimes we have this feeling, you know, if we would sit close enough to Brother Harold, we'll get his anointing. And we'll get his anointing, and that would help us. It don't work that way. You got to find your own oil. See, the foolish one said, "Give us some of yours." And the wise one says, "No, there may not be enough for both of us. Go and get yours for yourself." You and I have a responsibility, each one of us, to find the oil for ourselves. We are so dependent on other people sometimes to give us. And God says, "Come freely, whatever you want, come. Those who are thirsty, come unto me and drink. Come, I'll fill you." At midnight, there was a cry. The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Are you ready to meet him? If Jesus Christ will come right now, right here, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? We talked a little bit yesterday about those four people who were traveling in Napanee and had an accident. And just like that, they were gone. But the Bible says when we die here, we'll open our eyes somewhere else. Where will you open your eyes? Where will you open your eyes? Well, you know, I dress nice, you know, dress up nice, look like a Christian. I got all the outside appearance as a Christian. There's nothing wrong with the outside, but the outside must match what's on the inside. We need to be Christians that is, everything is coming from the inside. And it will flow on the outside. It will flow on the outside. You will radiate on the outside. But if there's junk in there, there'll be junk outside. But if Christ is in you, the hope and the glory, the joy of the Lord, it will radiate on the outside. The people just look at you and know there is something different about you. Remember, we talk about the story of the woman at the well. She came there for water. She met Jesus. He asked her for a drink. There was a big discussion back and forth, you know. Well, the Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. You asked me for a drink. Then he told a woman, if you know who I am, the water I give to you will never thirst. And she said, you have nothing to dip with. Where are you going to get the water from? And he went into the deeper parts and shared with her. And by the time he was finished with sharing with her, and he got to a certain place where she was ready to receive, he says, go call your husband. See, we have a tendency, well, you know, it's okay, you just come in. Come, you know, that is true, you come in, but you don't stay that way. You must see yourself as a sinner needing a Savior. He said, go call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, what is said is true. You had five husbands. He didn't begin talking to her about her sin. He began talking to her about the need that he had for water. And now he says, call your husband. And she says, I have none. He said, you have five husbands. And the man you're living with is not your own husband. You're living in sin. You didn't have to tell her that immediately. She knew something had to change. And she received the living water. And she ran back to the city and said, come, see a man who have told me all things. Could he be the Christ? Well, she had five husbands, and the man she was living with was not her own husband. She was abused by men all the time. They used her. I mean, man after man just used her. And now she ran back to the men and told them to come see a man. Another man? The Bible doesn't tell it, but I believe she was radiating by then. She just came from the presence of God, and she just radiated. And they must have seen something in her to want to follow her. This was a woman who was sleeping with all different men. And now she said, come see a man who have told me all things. Could he be the Christ? Do you radiate with the joy of the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Or do you walk around like sad and defeated and I'm just a poor, helpless sinner? No, you're not. In Romans 8 it says, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. More. Romans 8:1 says, therefore now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's joy. There's peace. There's power. But we have to have the oil. We must have the Spirit of God filling us day by day. The woman says, come, see a man who have told me all things. Could he be the Christ? And they followed her. They went and they saw him and they be with him. And later on it says, now the man followed Jesus not because of the woman, but because they got to know him. So the question, do you know him? Do you know him? The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil for our lamp are going out. But the wise answer said, no, leaves there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Church, are we ready for his coming? You see, I begin this week by telling you about his grace and his mercy, and that's true. I love his mercy, his grace. But tonight, I want to talk about when he comes. When he comes. He already made a way for us. We can't buy our way. We can't work our way. It's available. But choose ye this day whom you want to serve. You have a choice. I have a choice. I was in Kenya, Africa. And I was going to preach the last night an open ear. And that night, God just led me to say, I told all the Christians, all those who say they were Christians, the pastors, the deacons, the song leaders, the worshipers, and to come up front. Just come right up front tonight. Tonight, it's not about the rest of the people. It's just about you, the believers, the virgins. Oh, you're all dressed looking good like Christians. You got your Bible. And you're looking, you know, you have your lamp. And I've been up front and I said, okay, I'm going to share this story. God had given me this to share that night. And my question was, when you're going back home to the United States, those who are going back home, is the plane would crash tonight when we're going back home? Where would you spend eternity? And the place got quiet. I said, just allow God to search your heart. Do you know for sure where you're going to spend it? The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe. That's a strong word right there. We just run over it. Those who believe in him would not perish, but have life eternal. There's a guarantee. Any man being Christ, a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things become new. The love of God. No depths. No heights. No powers. No principalities. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. Except if we walk away. If we don't walk in obedience to him. Today I look at churches and we're just playing church. We dressed up looking like churchgoers. We got all the right attire. Some years ago I was in Ohio, in Holmes County. Right before I went to Holmes County, my mother-in-law was home with us and she was dying from cancer. She told me one day, she said, you know, I want to go to heaven. What do I need to do? Do I need to, you know, like the church, do I need to not cut my hair anymore? Do I need to, you know, what do I need to do? And I was so foolish. I said, well, you know, like we did during the Mennonite church, and this is what you got to do. Give the church rules. And then God just rebuked me. It's not the church rules. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you see, we could hear all the rules and follow all the rules. As a matter of fact, when I got to Holmes County that day, there was a man I knew from, I would say, a very conservative group. I went to his place of work, and he wasn't there, and he lived right in the front, and I went to the door, and I kind of knocked and looked in a little bit to see if I could see anyone. And all of a sudden, I saw him, and he saw me, and he just picked up something and run. Oh, well, you know, I wanted to know what he was running with. So I came in, and we talked for about an hour. And then he went in the back to get something for me, and I kind of slipped around where he was and looked. And he had two beer bottles. He was drinking, him and his wife were drinking beer. And he knew it was wrong. See, I didn't tell him anything. His conscience knew it was. Why did he run and hide? But he had all the attire. You talk about conservative. He had it on. You talk about a wife. I mean, her covering was so big it almost covered her face. She had everything. The capes was all caped up and everything else. I'm here to talk about, that's how you apply modesty, that's all right. But you want to be sure that it's not just on the outside. You have all the outside attire. You have the Bible in your hand. You have the lamb, but you have no oil. And I thought about this for myself, you know. I was trying to tell my mother-in-law to be more Mennonite. And this guy was more than Mennonite. And yet he knew what he was doing was wrong. And that's why he was hiding. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. I'm not telling you that. I'm reading this in the Word. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The door was shut. The door will be shut one day. It'll be too late. When I go, we have done a lot of funerals, and I go to a funeral, I don't pray. I don't pray for the dead. I don't even preach much about the dead. They're already dead. There's no decision to be made anymore. You make it while you're alive. You make the decision to follow Christ. I speak to the living. I share with the living. I challenge the living. Because now you have a choice to make a choice. You have a chance to make a choice. The door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgin came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. After the door was shut. After Christ comes and take those with him that have been obedient to his word. But he answered and said to them, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour the Son of Man comes. Coming back to my story, I was asked that night, if you would die tonight, where would you spend eternity? And there was a rumbling somewhere. And Alan says this, Alan Roth, I don't know if it's true, but I believe him. He said, I started to sweat. It was cold, but I was sweating. And God was moving. And that night I said, okay, well, I want it. But I got to give this up. I decided I think I wanted more. And that night I prayed to receive Christ. A cold night in March. It was raining. There was no thunder. There was no lightning. I didn't hear any song singing. The next day I went to work. Alan told me, he says, tell people, what you did. But that was a shame. Because that was the life of the party. I could tell them I'm a Christian. And one of the things, the reason I didn't want to be a Christian also, because one person told me one day, you're going to be just like your wife. You're going to follow her and be a Christian. And that was one of the things I didn't want. But that night I said, I want it for me. Do you want it for you? I went to work the next day. I worked just right on Atlantic Avenue, a place called Right Way. It was a big laundromat and dry cleaning place. And every evening when we finished work, we would drink and have some drugs. And we would spend an hour or 2 hours after work. And I got there that evening and I put my money for the drinks. But I couldn't. I just left and went home. And the next day I left and went home. And the next day I left and went home. And then I started going to church and started reading the Word. The enemy have a way of trying to trap us. I remember one night I went to see some old friends and they were drinking. And they were playing a card game and I sat there with them and I didn't want anything to drink because I don't drink no more. One of the guys, when he got drunk, started laughing and looking at me and he said, Daniel is a Christian. And they started laughing at me. And then he started saying, yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. And they all laughed even more, and I started feeling ashamed. And I said, well, I'm not really a Christian. I go with my wife to church. And I left, and God I just felt it. I just denied Christ. See, many times we deny him in different ways. That was a real. Sometimes we're denying because we don't understand His grace and His mercy. Sometimes we're denying because we don't understand the sin that He can't look at. I went home and repent and I call upon the Lord and He forgave. And then I decide I'm going to drop those friends. And sometimes you have to drop some of the people that you're hanging with. Sometimes you've got to walk away from the things that you're doing if you want the victory. And I did that. And I remember about a month later I went back. This time I had my own agenda. And they started drinking and started doing the same thing and started singing the same song. And then I shared the gospel. The reason why I do what I do is because God has forgiven me. Because God has changed my life. Because God. But wait a minute, that's the God who allowed you to go through all these problems. I'm going to talk about that just for a little bit. Detours. They happen. God gave us some detours sometimes. We don't like detours. You know what a detour is, right? You know this is the way you want to go, and God take you around a long way. I remember, you know, God, I didn't have a family to grow up with. All my siblings grew up together. It was 8 of them, and they knew each other, and they loved each other. And I thought, wow, Lord, I never got to know them. Until about 5 years ago, I went back to the island of Trinidad, and I got to meet siblings I never knew. I had known 2 of them, I should say. I was my older sister and the brother after me. I got to know them a little bit before I left the island. I went back and my older sister had died. My brother also had died. He was bad. Really bad. For some of the things he did. And he died and she died. And then I met my youngest sister. And she started relating with me some of the things that she went endured growing up, being abused so badly. They all were. Because when my mother died, she was a young child, almost a baby. And how much she hated my mom because my mom went to have an abortion. And through the abortion, she died. And they had told her, don't do the abortion. She did it and she died. And they couldn't forgive her. And God took me in a detour. And I complained, Lord, why take me all the way there? So that today I could go back and speak life into them. Because I don't know what would have happened if I grew up there. They all ended up in prison. I mean, it's a bad situation. I go back there and, oh man, sometimes my heart bleeds when I see how they live. We complain sometimes when God takes us into some path. We don't understand it all the time. Why is God taking me this long way? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Somebody was cleaning my glasses not too long ago today, my wife. And I told her, you don't have to clean this lens. And everybody wonder why. I don't see in this eye. Nobody knows unless I tell you. I have perfect vision in this one, but I had surgery. And after the surgery, blood got to the back of the retina. And then they tried to fix that. And then they messed up my retina. And because I believed that I couldn't sue, and I didn't want to go through that, I didn't even bother with the doctor. And I don't see this eye. I mean, I have a little, like right here, I can see this finger. And that's about, I can't see anyone out there in this eye. And I remember complaining about that. And then I complained and I ended up in the hospital. Ended up in the hospital and I came home and I'm complaining, Lord, I had diabetes. I went to the hospital. I had 10 toes and now only have 7.5. 7.5, 6.5. 8.5? Okay, I don't even remember. Let me check and see. They took off my pinky toe on both feet. From here, as a matter of fact, when I went into the hospital, a doctor told me he was going to take it off from right below the knee, knock my whole foot off, because it was really bad. The infection got into the bone. And I came home complaining that I only have 7 toes, 7 and a half, whatever it is. And God reminded me that there's some people who you have a leg to stand on. My dad had no legs when he died. You know, we talk about the prodigal son, right? Prodigal son says, I want what is due to me. Give me my heritage. Give me my, whatever you call it. What is called it? My inheritance. Give me my inheritance. I didn't ask my dad, but he gave me the inheritance because he had diabetes and I have diabetes. And I didn't ask him for it. He gave it anyway. He died from it. Minus 2 legs. I complain, I have no hair on my head, and then I realize, you know, God made some perfect heads, and then he covered the rest up with hair. So we got the real deal. We got the real deal. I mean, look at that. You can see it, right? Some people got some ugly looking head. You can't see it because it's covered up. I thank God for that. But I say all of that to say that this Christian life is real. You're here tonight and you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. Make a decision tonight. I can't tell what's in your heart. But Jesus knows. And tonight he's calling upon you. If you never repented and asked him to become the Lord of your life, tonight is your night. See, I know all the songs. I've been in the church. Well, some churches have rats in them. Are the rats Christians also? They're in the church every night, every day. Are they Christians? It's a very serious thing. Because one day the door is going to shut. Tomorrow I want to give you a lot of hope of your identity, who you are in Christ. But for tonight, who are you really? Do you have the oil? Or are you just living on borrowed time? And if you would come tonight, where would you spend eternity? Let's stand. I don't want to go on and on tonight. But I want you to allow God to examine your heart tonight. And I want to ask you the question I was asked that night. If you would die today. See, sometimes we think you've got to be 80 or 90 years old. But I've done funerals for babies. You never know the time or the hour when the master would come. Or the master would call. But tonight, if you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, my prayer tonight, you will do it tonight. Not because of fear of hell, but for the love of heaven. He provided a way for you and for me. You know all the songs, you know all the tradition, you wear the right clothing, you say the right words, you have a Bible, but you're not committed to Him. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to step up, step out, and receive Jesus Christ. Number one. The second one is you pray to receive Christ, but you're kind of backslidden, and you know you're living in the world and you're living in the church, and you. But if Christ come tonight, right now, you're not guaranteed where you're going to be. Don't take a chance. So what I want you to do with all head bows and all eyes closed, I want God to work, not me. I'm just going to say what He wants me to say, and then I'm going to let you do whatever He wants you to do. But you're here tonight, and you say, you know what? I'm not 100% sure that if Christ comes now, I would die tonight, I would be with Him for eternity. Tonight is your night. And all you need to do is just to raise your hand wherever you are. We're going to pray. You're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just lift your hand up where you are. And we'll pray. That you can be sure where you will spend eternity. Thank you. You're here tonight also, and you say, you know, sort of backslidden. You know, there's a lot of pretense in my life, but I want to make it right tonight because I want to be with Jesus. Would you slip your hand up also? And we're going to pray. Thank you. Is there another? Is there another? Thank you. Thank you. This is not about me. This is about not who is here tonight. This is about you and Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have seen the hands that have been lifted up to you. The ones who say, tonight, I need to get a guarantee. For Lord, you say, any man be in Christ is a new creation, any woman. I want to be that new creation in Christ. The old things have passed, the old things become new. You said tonight, Lord God, in your word, in Romans 8:1, therefore now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I want to be in Christ Jesus. I want to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give them the desire of their heart tonight, Lord God. For whatever burden they are carrying, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray it would continue to be with them. And when that door is shut, they will be on the inside. If you would come right now, right here, they are ready to be with you in paradise. If going home tonight would be their last night, and they close their eye on this side, they'll open their eyes, looking in the face of Jesus. Lord, there may be someone here tonight who didn't put their hand up, but they're saying, I want that, Lord. As they open their hearts to you right now, in the name of Jesus, God, hear their cry from their hearts to yours. Father, we thank and praise you for who you are, for all that you have done. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to encourage you as you're here tonight and you made a decision to follow Christ, share with someone. Share with someone. You're here tonight and you ask for prayer. Have someone pray with you. It's because the enemy wants to snatch away what the Lord is going to do in your life. The Bible says he walks around like a roaring lion looking to see who he can destroy. And he wants to take it away from you. Don't allow him to. With prayer and faith and walking in his presence, the enemy can't touch you. Walk in the light. He's not in the light. He's in the darkness. I want us to just stand tonight. We've been singing every night. You understand? And I wonder if whoever could lead a song. It's a song that talks about there's power in the blood. You know, the song we sang talks about the power in the blood. But there's a hymn that we sing. There's power in the blood, wonder-working power. Someone wants to lead that song, or someone knows. Is it in the hymn book, or is it a chorus, or what is it? From your.